Now, though, someone even more controversial. It's our gadget detective, Fevzy. How are you?
Great. Can I clip that, please?
Of course you can. Now, you are here to answer people's questions, if perhaps they're looking to buy a new gadget or if a gadget they currently have in their life is letting them down. And I'm not kidding, am I, or over-exaggerating when I say you can pretty much answer questions on anything.
I can certainly give it a go.
I mean, we've helped people with their TV remote control before, haven't we? Everything.
Yes. And the sofa.
Sofa, tumble dryers, you name it. You can get in touch with Fevzy 03459570057, or you can text 81333. Start your message with the word radio. Let's kick things off, though, with your gadget of the week. Yeah. And this is a case for an iPad Pro.
Yeah, so this is from a company whose cases I haven't reviewed before. They're called UAG, and that stands for Urban Armor Gear.
Gosh, and that sounds impressive.
It's rugged. And their sort of unique selling point is that their stuff is tested to military standards, and they actually quote the standard. I looked it up.
So basically kids can't break it.
Yeah, I looked up the standard. It's got a picture of a tank next to it.
Wow, don't miss.
Yeah, so for the idea is, so this is the two I looked at specifically for the new iPad Pros, so the 10.5-inch iPad Pro and the big
what is
4.9.
The iPad Pro? It's one of those things. I keep hearing an awful lot about it, but how does it differ from a normal iPad?
So these were launched about a month ago. First of all, it exists in a 10.5-inch size with narrower bezels. That's to say the frame around is narrower. So it's not much bigger in size than the 9.7-inch iPad, which is the cheaper model now. But it's got the 10.5-inch screen, so that's a big boon. They did that by making the bezels, the frame around the screen, smaller. Because it's a Pro, it also works with something called the Apple Pencil, which is this very high-end sort of stencil that you can buy for it. And you can use that to draw, but also to control the interface. And it's very responsive. So they're getting closer to the experience of actually pen on paper. Not quite there yet. It's about a 20 millisecond lag, which, you know, unless your pen is like screaming from one corner of the screen to the other, that's pretty much, you know, zero lag in terms of what you perceive. In terms of other things, it's the performance as well. These two iPad Pros have got a new processor in it, which means that they're about as fast as a mid-range MacBook Pro laptop. So they're really fast, and Apple are selling them or promoting them on the basis that people can use these instead of their laptops at their laptop replacements.
Ah, okay.
I would say that's true if you're sort of not a very demanding user, but there are still things that are easier to do on a laptop, be it Windows or a Mac.
Right.
But you know, this is a good thing. So
how much do they cost?
Right, so if you wanted to get a 12.9-inch fully kitted out, you're talking about £1,000. But I think on the 10.5 entry level, I think it's around the £600 mark. So they're not cheap. But they've launched something called iPad now, which is a 9.7-inch, which is, you know, pretty good deal, and is at the sort of £400 type mark as well. So Apple stuff's never going to be cheap.
No. But, I tell you what I did, though. I got, through the Apple website, I bought a reconditioned iPad, which saved me some money.
Yeah, and actually, Apple, if you actually get it from Apple, i.e. not reconditioned by someone else, but reconditioned by Apple, sold through their website, other than the packaging, they are indistinguishable from new.
Yeah, I mean, touch wood, nothing's ever gone wrong with it.
No. I mean, I've bought loads of Macs and stuff reconditioned. I've never had a problem with them. And you get the full warranty as well. So just because it's reconditioned doesn't mean that. And you can even extend the warranty. You can get AppleCare and all this. So having spent all that money on your iPad Pro, you need to protect it, right?
Yeah.
And so this Urban Armor Gear or UAG case, it's certified, or they've tested it to 26 drops from 4 feet high with zero damage, which is pretty good. So the case covers the whole of the back of the device, and it flips over and covers the front. Mm-hmm. It's got a magnetic latch, which, and the magnets are in the right place. So when you open it, the screen comes on, and when you close the cover, the screen goes off again. And that only works if the magnets are in the right place.
What does the thing look like, though? Because, you know, I think, you know, an iPad can actually look quite stylish, but as soon as you then put it in one of these heavy-duty covers, I mean, yeah. I'm thinking of ours at home. Obviously, we've had to kid-proof ours. I mean, this case that I've got for them? I mean, it's not attractive.
It's a very good question. Look, here I'm holding up to the microphone. So at the front, so it's ruggedized. You've got to bear that in mind. But it's not that heavy, considering its sort of rugged attributes. They've used special materials that make it light. So the front is kind of a rippled surface, comes in a choice of colours, black, red, I think there's a blue one as well. It's got sort of strips across it that are sort of, you know, not flat, so you can grip it. It's easy to grip. It doesn't slip out of your hand. On the back, it's more chunky still. So this is, it does look sort of tough, but it doesn't add a whole lot. And the nice thing about this is, well, two things. First of all, there's a clip on it for the Apple Pencil, because people keep losing their Apple Pencils. They roll away, and they cost £100. So
that's a pencil you don't want to lose.
Yeah, exactly. And the other nice, so it protects back and front, but you can actually pull it to pieces. So if you don't want the front bit on it at any given time, you can just snap it off at the back. And then it's compatible with Apple's smart keyboard cover as well. So you can have the back cover on and it still works with the smart keyboard. So I've given it 4 stars out of 5. It's not a cheap thing. So the 10.5-inch version is £45 and the 12.9-inch version is £70. But given what you've paid for the iPad, I think it's worth spending that sort of money if you want to protect it. And the final nice thing it does is that you can open it up and it acts as a stand. So it sits in landscape mode, you know, wide mode, and you can adjust the angle at which it's propped up, so you can watch, you know, videos on it without having to hold it in your hand.
Yeah, it's useful.
That's particularly important because these are larger iPads as well, particularly the 12.9. You get arm ache holding that after a while. So it's nice that it can do that. And so it comes as a stand, comes as a cover. I like it. I mean, I'm actually using it on mine as well. So, you know, I've entrusted my iPad to it, which I don't do easily.
No, that's not something you do easily. The brilliant Stevie Wonder, part-time lover. It's 21 minutes past 2. Still to come today, hear my conversation with comedian and political campaigner Russell Brand. Also, do you remember, I'm terrible with time, but it was probably a few weeks ago now, we met a lovely chap called Lee Milden, worked for Evan Cycles. Do you remember? He was organising a charity event, a big quiz, actually, in Crawley, in a football stadium. I know, it's quite some quiz. Anyway, he's back today, and he's going to be joined by Paula, the wife of the man who kind of inspired him to raise this money in the first place. We'll be chatting to them just before 3 o'clock. Now, though, we're talking gadgets with Fevzi, and Lynn's given us a call from Brighton. Afternoon, Lynn.
Hello, Alison.
Hello. What's the issue?
Hello, Fevzi.
Hello, Lynn.
I have spoken to you before regarding my laptop.
Yes, but how this.
Yes, okay, thank you. Still finding my way around it. But I've still got my old Windows XP desktop sitting in the corner,
yes,
doing nothing.
Naughty desktop.
Yeah. I mean, it is so slow, it's unbelievable to get it to do anything at all. Mm-hmm. But can I have anything done to it to speed it up a bit so that I can use it as a sort of typewriter come filing system?
Yeah. So, Lynn, the thing to be aware of with Windows XP, and I think you probably know this, but I'll just repeat it for others, Microsoft no longer support Windows XP. And what that means is that as faults are discovered and vulnerabilities to attack are discovered in the operating system, Microsoft no longer gives you free patches for it. Some businesses get them, but they have to pay separately for it. And that means that as time goes by, Windows XP gets increasingly dangerous to use, particularly if it ever goes online, because the vulnerabilities are found, they're not patched, and you know, you become easy pickings. So I would say to you that, you know, you would have to have a very limited way of using it which didn't involve going online for it to be considered to be a sort of acceptable risk. The other possibility that you could do is you could put a more modern operating system on it. Most machines that run Windows XP are also capable of running Windows 7, which isn't the current version. Windows 10 is current, but Windows 7 is still a good operating system, and it's still supported with updates. So I would say You could stick Windows 7 on it. It would also kill two birds with one stone, because one of the ways in which you would speed up that machine then is to reinstall the operating system and get rid of all the chaff that's sort of collected on it over the years as you've used it. You know, as programs get installed and uninstalled, stuff gets left behind, you know, bits of the operating system become a little bit damaged, as it were. So reinstalling an operating system is often a good way to breathe a bit of new life into it without having to spend a lot more money. You would, if you don't have a Windows 7 license available, you would have to buy Windows 7 and have someone install it for you. And my concern is that if you're not going to do that yourself, then you start getting into the sort of money that would be better putting towards another machine.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? So you could go down the route of saying, well, I am just going to use it as a typewriter. I will never connect it to the internet and just use it for as long as it keeps working. If you wanted to do that, then all you need is you've already got Windows XP on it. You could have a little clean out of that system. You could install on it something called CCleaner. That's the letter C followed by the word cleaner. There's a free version of that, which is all that you would need. And that runs... You run it once and then you set it up so that it runs every time you switch on the machine, and that does a little bit of spring cleaning. That can often help. You also need to look, if you filled up the hard drive too much, if the hard drive is more than about 80, 85, 90% full, then that in itself will slow down the machine, because that space is also used by the machine to do its own internal work. So you could try and look at if the hard drive's too full, and maybe take off a few things that you haven't been needing.
How would I do that then? How do I get into the hard drive?
So in Windows XP, you've got something called Windows Explorer, which you can access from the start menu in the bottom left-hand corner. You go to Windows Explorer, not to be confused with Internet Explorer, which is for browsing the internet, and look at what the bigger files are, look at what you've stored. Do you have any sort of video clips on there that you don't need or could copy off? And also, that if you go to, you know, the start menu and then click on computer, you can also... when you look at the computer and you go to properties, you can actually see a picture of how full the hard drive is and what's using that space. So you start to get a picture of it. You know, but CCleaner is probably the easiest thing to do, but it may have some effect, but it won't be dramatic. On the other hand, if you're just using it as you know, to run a word processor and just connect a printer and type from there, that's fine. But you have another computer as well. You have a laptop.
Yeah, I've got a small laptop, but it's not very good for you know, sort of typing things. I mean, it's all right for the odd email.
Yeah.
But it's not very good as a typewriter.
Is that because the keyboard's too small?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So the other alternative is to take an external keyboard, possibly the one off your big computer, and plug that into your laptop if it's got a USB connector on it.
Oh, right.
If it's got a rectangular connector on the end of the keyboard cable, then you can plug that in into the newer laptop and have the benefit of the bigger keyboard without having to put up with the slower machine.
And the laptop isn't connected to the printer either.
Okay, but you can do that. You need to install the correct printer driver. You just need to go to the manufacturer's website for your printer, find the make and model, and download the appropriate driver, which is a small piece of software that describes your particular printer to the Windows operating system, so it knows how to use it and knows how to send pages to it for printing. So you can do that, and I would recommend you do that even if you didn't have the other machine, because you want to be able to print from both machines.
Yeah. I hope that helps, Lynn. Thanks so much for your call. We've had this from Anna. She says, I've installed a Hikvision camera with Wi-Fi capabilities in a barn for agricultural purposes, and it is wired to the house PC by cable. How can I view the images on my Samsung smartphone when I'm away from the property? The company that sold me the camera can set this up for a fee plus an annual fee, but is there another way? I'm not a technical person, but I wondered if a program like TeamViewer would allow me to access my PC from my phone and view the images that way. Also, how much data would be used on my phone, which of course might rule this out in any case.
Yep.
Also, how secure is this?
Okay, lots of questions.
Lots of questions.
You know, so, okay, you can do it by leaving your laptop permanently switched on and then accessing remotely that laptop using some remote access software, perhaps TeamViewer, but perhaps something else. Yeah, there are many options for that. So it can be done. The downside to that is that the laptop has to be switched on permanently, and it means that that laptop is also potentially at risk of getting hacked because it's online all the time. That in and of itself increases the risk, because people who are just snooping around the internet find, you know, active computers on the internet, and a standalone laptop, can present a target. So I personally wouldn't go at it that way. You know, it's going to cost you money just to keep the laptop running, and you're going to have to stop the laptop from going to sleep mode as well, which again is going to, you know, increase wear and tear and electricity usage and so forth. The reason why the company you mentioned would charge you both a setup fee and a monthly fee, and this is unfortunately increasingly common, is because they're not just setting it up for you, they're providing you with use of their servers, which is to say their big computer sitting there. So instead of your computer having to be on all the time, their one is on all the time, and they tell you how to access their computer from your mobile device or any other device. So that's a sort of neater solution, but it does cost you some money. The only other way forward is there are cameras that are standalone, that they're called network cameras or sometimes IP cameras. Those ones don't need to be permanently connected to a computer. They have their own IP address. That's to say they have their own entity on the internet. They are an entity on the internet and can be dialed into effectively by accessing the IP address from any browser, including on there. So you might want to take the other view, and if your camera doesn't support itself as isn't an IP camera, an independent webcam, then you may consider buying one of those, because then you if you get the right one, you don't have to pay a monthly fee on it. So in the long run, it can be cheaper. But be careful, because a lot of them, what they do, it's like printers, they sell you the camera cheap because they know that you then need to use their service on an ongoing basis.
It's a bit naughty, isn't it?
Well, it's kind of different pricing models. I mean, because you get the camera cheap, you know, like you get certain printers cheap, because then they stiff you for the cost of the ink. On the other hand, you can pay more for a camera or a printer, and then have ink or service at a reasonable price. And in fact, with the camera, you can have it where you don't have to pay a monthly fee, and that can be attractive. So there are different solutions, but I would not personally go down the route of trying to access your laptop and leaving it switched on 24/7. I think that way lies trouble.
Leaving yourself a bit exposed. I hope that helps. Fevzi, we are out of time, but thank you so much as always. If people want to listen to your tech phone at their own convenience, they can, can't they, via your podcast?
Yeah, so we do a 1.5-hour tech phone in twice a month. So and there's some good information in there, some excellent questions as well. So you can find that if you go to @gadgetdetective on Twitter. You can get to there, or look up on audioboom.com. We're there as well.
Or you are more than happy for people to follow you on Twitter and get some free tech advice there as well.
Indeed.
Always lovely to chat. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
That is our gadget detective, Fevzi. He'll be back with us in a couple of weeks' time.